You know, there's a great song in our new album, and the line goes, fire falls on sacrifice. Fire falls on sacrifice. And no wonder the fire of God is falling on everything we're doing. It's because of the sacrifice of our volunteers. Psalm 110:3, your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. A lot of people say, oh, yeah, when God's power shows up, I'll volunteer. But maybe God's saying, no, my power shows up when you volunteer. My people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. And there's just something that we're seeing. So I just want you to turn your palms towards heaven. Father, I just thank you for the extra mile devotion of this team. You know, what I even love about our staff is there's not one staff person that we pay that is equivalent to what they carry. The measure that they draw is not equivalent to what they carry, what they bring to the city. The earth does not yet honor and recognize the value of what these magnificent people, the volunteers, those of you that volunteer what you do, you need to understand that the treasure that is being stored up for you, not for heaven, not for when you get to heaven, although that you'll have that, but stored up in heaven for here and now. Favor, favor, favor. I had favor everywhere I went. I had blessing and breakthrough everywhere I went. It was because every time I got a calling to go and work for a church, there was no salary. God was testing my heart. And because I went to volunteer, I walked in incredible favor. I walked in blessing. The people that got hired, that immediately got remunerated, that immediately got financial reward, they didn't get. But because I went with a volunteer heart, now to see the volunteer heart of our people, the extra mile. Nobody here does 9 to 5. Nobody here does their 40-hour week clock in, clock off. People go the extra mile. That's why God is blessing Awaken. Father, I don't count it a light thing. I count it a holy thing, a sacred thing. Father, I pray for supernatural blessing to rest on each and every hero volunteer, each and every hero cast member, each and every hero production member, the entire cast and crew. Father, and I especially for the magnificent volunteers, the magnificent people here in this room. Bless them, I pray. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. 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 Give 2 or 3 people and say, not only are you a great volunteer, but you're ridiculously good looking. Fantastic. Well, I am so excited. I've got a really, really great word that I felt this morning. That I felt to bring you this morning. That's what I wanted to say. That's exactly what I wanted to say. I also just want to just say thank you to beautiful Diana, my amazing assistant. Diana, Samuel, and Morgan have worked overtime to get my Emerge Men's book finally done. So it's now on Amazon, and I think we ordered copies yesterday, so we're going to give them away and Samuel was saying it's the second best book he read yesterday. I said, what other book did you read? He said, well, if I did read another book, it would be second best. I felt a little bit wounded, but I felt encouraged. I felt, well, that was positive. I like the way you put it, positive. He's so kind. So watch out for that. That's going to be coming out. But the title of my message this morning is The God Who Sees Gravity. The God Who Sees Gravity. Who do you and I worship? We worship the God who sees gravity. How many people know that there is a law of gravity? The gravity is real. If you don't believe it, you know, go up 3 stories, step off. You'll realize gravity is pretty darn real. Gravity is real. Gravity is invisible, but just because it's not visible doesn't mean it's not real. So that's why we don't listen to atheists. If I can't see it, I can't believe it. Well, how are you stuck to the ground, moron? You can't see gravity, but there it is working for you. You're welcome. We are smarter when we understand the laws of God. So this passage of scripture that we're about to read is literally, it's I'm just going to capture a moment in Jesus' very, very first sermon. This is the carpenter's son. There's rumor. There's been a few miracles. And all of a sudden, there's attention starting to draw. There's a new voice in Israel. You'll see Pastor Samuel does a fantastic job as Caiaphas the high priest. You're going to love to hate him and hate to love him. It's amazing. He does a great job representing how Israel at that particular time had taken God's laws and just used them to beat people, to destroy people. There was no life. God never gave the law to cripple and to kill and to maim and to hurt and to wound and to judge and to use as entrapment with a woman caught in adultery and to bring her out and stone her so you feel better about your sin because you can compare yourself to other people. It was never meant to be like that. And so here comes this voice. Here comes Jesus Christ, and he's speaking things that is blowing people's minds. What he shared, no one was saying in Israel. And because he's the God who sees gravity, because he's the God that sees invisible laws, the more I read the Bible, that's why the daily Bible is the best thing, because I cannot stop the assailment of nasty, belittling, hate, spew, vitriol that comes at us. I can't, there's no spigot that I can turn that off. So I just ignore most of it. I'm back on social media, but if I was honest, I'm just on there to throw Molotov cocktails. I post and then leave. I post and then leave. You can tell? What do you mean you can tell? You meant to act surprised. Oh, my Lord. Okay, well, feeling a little bit judgy Judgerson here right now. And anyway, so thanks for noticing. So... But the daily devotion to the Word of God, like that's his voice and his voice alone. Put his voice first, put his voice last. I live to please God, live to please him. And what is so beautiful is that I am 200% convinced. If I was 100% convinced last week, I'm 200% convinced this week that what we preach here at Awaken, when I examine the fruit, when I look at the fruit, you know, I played golf with an older man on the other day, an older gentleman in our church, beautiful man. He gave me the most sweet card at the end of the round and just tears in his eyes. And he talked about how he'd never wanted to go to Emerge. Camping with you know, 2,500 other men was not his kind of thing. And he said, but he went because everybody kept coaxing him. And so men, make sure you get people to Emerge. And then he said that, you know, when they gave him, he registered and they gave him a piece of wood. And he's like, what am I meant to do with that? Or you wear it. He's like, what kind of a camp is this? Like, the money I just paid and you tell me I've got to wear a piece of wood and I can't take it off? Yeah, oh, and that's not all. You got to write all your sin and all your struggles and all your shame and everything on the wood for everyone to see. And he's like, what the heck? And so he talked about how he went through a number of tragedies, a number of difficulties, and just carried shame that he couldn't prevent one thing, couldn't stop the death of another thing that was very dear, and had carried all the shame his whole life. And then he's standing at the fire with men. And he said when he took the burden off with all the things written on there and threw it in the fire, he said it's the first time in over 20 years that he'd felt freedom. It's the first time he felt peace. And he just grabbed me in the parking lot, hugged me, and just said, this church has changed my life. This church has changed my life. And Dr. Matt, you know, just shared a text. We hear that again and again and again. So I know what we teach. I know what we teach. So I don't need to... In fact, the more the devil attacks it, the more I realize we're over the target. So you're just encouraging me. I'm going to double down. So anyway, so come with me. This is going to make sense in a moment. This is for Pastor Summer. I've got 8 points this morning. You little rascal, I don't believe you for 1 minute. Oh, Summer, I love you. You've gone to a new level of awesomeness. All right, so come with me, Luke chapter 6. I'm going to be reading from the nearly inspired version this morning. The nearly inspired, the NIV, nearly inspired. All right, Luke 6:37 says, do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it'll be measured back to you. He also told them this parable. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a pit? The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes, nor do they pick grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man, evil, brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So I've got eight laws that Jesus shared there that are invisible laws that are in operation. The laws of God, and this is the great privilege that we have, the great privilege that we have each and every Sunday and each and every Wednesday, is that we get to open God's word, open God's laws of life, because they're not teaching these in Harvard, sadly, anymore. They're not teaching them in Princeton and Yale. They're not teaching them because the education system has rejected God. It doesn't want God to rule. It doesn't want to be accountable to God. The Bible says people love their darkness. They love their sin more than they love God, and so they reject God, but they don't reject God to their benefit. They reject God to their demise. We don't break God's commandments. We only break ourselves against them. God's laws are laws of life, so people will flock into this house because there are laws of life. So I want to give you eight laws that are in operation. And as you and I step into understanding these laws will accelerate your life. These laws will elevate your life. These laws will bless your life. These laws will cause your life to flourish. First law, law number one, is the law of reciprocity. The law of reciprocity. You'll hear people say, what goes around comes around. Or you'll say, well, you know, that's just karma. Or karma is a bee. You'll hear people kind of say all kinds of things. But really, Jesus was teaching a law of reciprocity. In verse 37, remember, it says, do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. With the measure you use, it'll be measured back to you. So there is a law in motion in the universe called the law of reciprocity. The law of reciprocity. So if you're always judging people, you're going to have a very miserable life, because what you don't realize is because the way that God operates, the way His Spirit operates, is you determine the level of judgment you come under by how much you judge. If you're judging, then guess what? It's measured. You just gave the angels, you just gave heaven permission to take that same measuring stick and measure that amount of judgment back. That's why condemn not. When you're out there condemning, you know, there's some Christians that Leanne had been following on Instagram. And they were kind of, you know, they were vocal in 2020. We were really excited. They were vocal. And they were calling out Mussolini, and they were calling out the right things. But then they just, I think they got high. It became like a narcotic on calling people out. And then they just started, you know, pointing at each other and pointing at, and they just love the condemning. They love the judging. They just love. And it's like, whoa, like go back to your Bible. Like you profess to be a Christian. And they wonder why their world is getting smaller and smaller. They've got hardly any friends. It's like, sweetheart, stop judging. Sweetheart, stop condemning. If the more you judge, the more judgment comes back to you. The more you condemn, the more condemning comes back to you. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. One of the greatest breakthroughs in my life was when God convinced me that I needed to forgive my father, not because he was asking, not because he was changing, not because he was deserving, not because he was repenting, but that I needed to forgive him because I was bound. And it was amazing, as I forgave, something flowed from heaven towards me. With the measure I forgave, it was measured back to me. It didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen all at once. I felt like I'd completely forgiven him, but really, when the Holy Spirit shone his light, you know, there were little cockroaches running under the rocks. When you lifted it up, there was, you know, little bugs under there. And so I realized I've got to keep cleaning house. But I found that the more that I forgave, the more came back to me. That's why Jesus says, give and it will be given to you. Give and it will be given to you. It's a crazy thing, the law of reciprocity, that they attack our church and say, well, you know, at Awakened Church, they preach that if you give, you know, you're going to get. That they preach give to get. Well, God gave to get. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. It wasn't like, you know, God's in heaven and Gabriel's like, Lord, that's your only begotten son. You gave him. Well, I'm not expecting anything in return. Far be it. God knew. He's like, dude, have you seen the crises? Satan took one third of the angels with him, and then he just polluted my son and daughter, so they're now away. So I've got mankind full of rebellion. Darn right, I gave the very, very greatest. I gave the greatest seed that I have so I can reap an optimum harvest. For God so loved the world, he didn't give an angel. He didn't give a cherubim or a seraphim. He gave his only. Only means he doesn't have another one. He gave his most prized. He gave his most sacred. He gave what was irreplaceable. It was his only begotten son. There was no substitute. There was no replacement for it. He gave his only begotten son. Why? Because he was going for optimum harvest. When we get to heaven, every single person that should have got saved, meant to get, is going to be saved because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. God gave the best so that we can have the best chance of getting into heaven. God gave to get. You need to understand, when you step into this house, we're going to teach you the laws of giving. We're going to teach you. That's why we do Vision Builders. We do Vision Builders because Vision Builders is how we accelerate the vision. I know that. They're all wonderful slogans and they're all true. But the real reality, the real reason we do Vision Builders is to unlock blessing over you. The Bible says that God gives seed to the sower. God gives seed to the sower. And if you say, well, hang on, well, I ain't got any seed. And God's like, yeah, simple. Start sowing. Yeah, so give me some seed and I'll sow. God said, no, it's the other way around. You sow and I'll provide the seed. Whoa, hang on. Then I'm going to be out of pocket. Well, that's called trust. Trust is spelled F-A-I-T-H. Trust is spelled F-A-I-T-H. As you give, as you step out and give, God gives seed to the sower. God is always looking to redirect his resources to people he can trust. There's so much of his wealth that is caught up with wicked people that don't honor him. They support abortion clinics like Planned Parenthood. They give to all kinds of stuff that mutilates our young people, that destroys their lives. And God is looking for sons and daughters with faith that begin to step out and give. You will increase your world. Your world is as large as your understanding of the law of reciprocity. That's why Leanne and I have only given each year more and more and more to Vision Builders and to church. And why? Because we understand the laws of God. We look at our life. I left Bible college and served for free. We had no salary when we first got married. It was unbelievable. We just learned to give our way forward. We learned to give our way into breakthrough. What we're teaching you is not because we want to get something from you. What we're teaching is to get something to you. We're trying to teach you the law of reciprocity. The first thing Jesus said is, if you judge, judgment's coming back. If you condemn, condemning's coming back. If you forgive, forgiveness is coming back. If you give, it's coming back. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. The first law that he introduced was the law of reciprocity. Make it work for you. You are wise. When people say, well, you shouldn't give to get, say, well, here, give me some of your money because I'm going to give it to get, because I understand the principles of God. I understand the laws of reciprocity. You're down tooting. The second one is what's called the law of harvest, sowing and reaping, the law of harvest. You determine the harvest size in your life. Jesus says, good measure pressed down, shaken together will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it'll be measured back to you. Paul in Galatians 6 says, you know, if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. But he who sows bountifully, excuse me, that's 1 Corinthians 9, will also reap bountifully. With the measure you use, it'll be measured back to you. You want a big harvest? Put big seed in the ground. You want a little harvest? Put a little seed in the ground. There have been times where Leanne and I needed a big harvest, and I knew to unlock a big harvest, I had to sow a big seed. I had to sow something with some blood. I had to put a bull on the altar. I had to put some sacrifice on the altar. When the children of Israel were told to bring their first male bull and offer it to the Lord, there's no guarantee that the cows are going to give birth to another male. And yet it's the male that determines whether the flock survives. And they had to bring the very, very first one. There was no guarantee that they'd have another male, but they would bring it honoring God, knowing if they gave their very best, if they gave their sacrifice to God, God would bless them if they honored God with their best. There's a law of harvest. The law of harvest is the law of sowing and reaping. Here's the truth. You are never not sowing. And you are never not reaping. Today you are sitting in the harvest of what you sowed yesterday. The most beautiful thing about the Bible, why it's so liberating, why it's so powerful, is if you don't like your today, if you don't kind of like your world right now, good news, you can begin to change what you sow. You can make a decision today that I'm going to start sowing better seed. I'm going to start sowing greater seed so I can have a better harvest and a greater harvest tomorrow. At any point in time, you can shift everything over your life. You ask any of these pastors. I love when I go to Morgan's place. Morgan, for many, many years, was you know, renting a beautiful place, but renting a place in La Jolla. It was a nice place. It was a fun place, but it wasn't his. There was nothing that he was able to leave to his children apart from great morals and great example, but materially. And then all of a sudden, God begins to stir in his heart some of the most faithful generosity, faithful devotion, faithful giving, faithful sacrifice between him and Jenny. And now I drive to their house and I play with their kids and I always say, man, I love your hotel. They're like, and little Jackson's like, it's not a hotel, it's a house. How much is a room overnight? Because this is like a Disney hotel. No, it's not a Disney hotel. This is our house. No, houses don't have big pools like this and big, you know, orchards in the back. No, really it is. No, normal houses don't have slides coming off the bed. You have a slide coming off your bed and a giant giraffe. You have a giant giraffe in your, this is a Disney hotel. No, it's not. And so Jack says, you can stay for free, but I love Ella. Ella, for always the entrepreneur, she says, you can stay for 50 cents a night. So she's still going to make something out of it. But I love it. They are as proud as punch. When I go to their house, they are as proud as punch. They live in this house that's like a hotel. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. And if you ask, Morgan, if you ask Samuel, if you ask Alex, if you ask Dr. Matt, if you ask John, if you ask Alex, if you ask all these people on the front, they will tell you about the law of sowing and reaping, the law of harvest. As each one of them sowed greater and greater, they're reaping greater and greater harvest. Make it work for you. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't let the naysayers and the negative and the God haters, you know, contaminate and twist and pollute and pervert what is holy and what is good. Jesus says the measure you use, it'll be measured back to you. If you want a greater measure in your harvest, sow a greater seed today. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. All right, the next one. The next one is the law in 4 minutes. Oh, dear Jesus. Some of you may have been right. The law of visionary leadership. Can the blind lead the blind? Someone has to see. The law of visionary leadership. If the blind lead the blind, will they not both fall into a ditch? Somebody has to see. Somebody has to see. So you would say, like, yeah, duh, I understand that. But here's what I realized. In 2020, the pressure on me to not see what was going on in the government, the pressure on me just to acquiesce to the black square, to acquiesce to the injustice and the America is systemically racist since the, and you're racist. And if you don't realize you're racist, that's just how racist you really are. And I'm like, wow, shoot, okay. So it's a no-win. It's just, and so I'm like, but I'm looking at the people. I was looking at the people saying it. And I'm like, you are so jacked up. the fact that you're saying it means I'm going to look on the opposite direction because you are jacked up. And so there was pressure not to speak out. There was pressure not to be open. There was pressure to just acquiesce to the government lockdowns. That strip clubs, yes, you can go to a strip club and get a lap dance. You can get marijuana at a marijuana dispensary and get addicted to marijuana. You could go to the liquor store and get drunk and become an alcoholic. You could go to the casino and gamble all your money away, but you couldn't go to church. You couldn't go to the house of God. You couldn't hear the word of God. You could go to Home Depot where there were hundreds of people in the stores, but you couldn't go to the house of God. We weren't allowed to gather. And I just thought, if I turn a blind eye, I turn my eye blind. If I turn a blind eye, there are things that require courage. Because I said, I'm not going to turn my eye blind. By turning a blind eye, I got to see. And because I got to see, I got to lead. Because I got to lead, people that followed began to flourish. They began to come out of darkness. What things in your life, the devil always try and get you to compromise, to turn a blind eye, turn a blind eye. Eli turned a blind eye to his son's terrible behaviors, their wickedness and corruption before the Lord. He wouldn't look at it. And if you read the story of Eli, you find that there's a horrible regression with his sight. He begins where his eyes were dim, and it ends with him being completely blind. And literally the story is because he kept turning a blind eye to the wickedness and the corruption of his sons. Because of that, he turned his eye blind. There is nothing more important if you want to be a leader than seeing. The greatest gift that I ask is, God, help me to see. Help me to see. Do you know how you see? You see through the Word of God. The Word of God is light. The first time the Word of God was introduced in Scripture is Genesis 1:3, and God said, let there be light. The first assignment of the Word is to bring light. The eye can only see when light is present. The eye can only see when light is present. The highest, purest, most potent source of light is the Word of God. When the Word of God comes, you will see clearly. See everything through the lens of the Word of God. Don't let the spirit of the world become the lens through which you interpret the Word of God. Fooey. No, we interpret the world. We interpret your corrupt, jacked up, messed up brokenness through the lens of the Word of God. Visionary leadership. Number four, the law of reproduction. The law of reproduction. The student, verse 40 says, the student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like the teacher. The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like the teacher. It's called the law of reproduction. You will literally become what you sit under. You will become what you sit under. Therefore, be very, very careful what you sit under. When you listen to people, they will tell you what they're sitting under. I have a problem with Q. QAnon keeps telling us, oh, the good guys are in control, and the people that you're seeing, they're not really real. They're not really real. They're clones. That's not really Biden. No, he was executed. You know, Hillary Clinton, she was executed. And the number's four. I mean, it's like Sesame Street. Sesame Street today was brought to you by the number four and the letter Q. Four, Q. Yeah, because there's four legs on a table. And a table is a flat surface. And a flat surface means that the earth is really flat and everything you're seeing is not real. And there's a conspiracy. We didn't really land on the moon. Four and Q. It's unbelievable. They make, so when people are into that, I'm like, oh, dear God, you're becoming as, be careful what you sit under. The Bible says that everything reproduces after its own kind. Your life is so sacred. Your life is so valuable. Don't let just anybody speak into your life. Well, this person sang some pretty profound things. Remember years ago, I was sitting in a cafe and these people come up saying, hey, do you know about the secret? The secret. It's the law of the universe. The secret. And it's, you know, it was the law of attraction. That, you know, if you ask the universe for something, the universe will give it to you, providing that you believe it, it's positive. You can't have anything negative. You've got to be, and it's just this garbage. It's just this nonsense. They take the scripture and they just extract God out of it. But people got caught up in it, and their lives were empty and shallow, and they're self-centered. God wants to give you the universe. God wants to give you the earth. God wants you to give you all things for His glory. For His glory. When you understand that everything that you have, you're a steward. That you're a steward of what you have, and it's ultimately entrusted to you by God. Adam didn't create the earth. Adam didn't lift a hammer and a nail and say, okay, God, what part of the earth do you want me to build? God's like, it's already done. And in fact, at the first bend in the river, I put gold in there. It's ready there for you, son. There's nothing that Adam had to do. It was already there. The trees were producing by themselves. It was already there. Adam recognized, I'm a steward. God is the giver. God is the benevolent one. Understand that everything that comes into your hand, you're a steward of that thing. The teaching that you sit under, make sure you sit under godly teaching. Now, let me just say this. Every single one of our campus pastors, it wasn't that Leanne and I sat around and we're like, oh man, we had no idea that God was going to multiply our campuses. Shoot, let's just grab anybody. What about very, very early on, God says, I want you to build leaders. I want you to build leaders. We had more leaders than we had campuses. We had more leaders than we had locations. We had more leaders than we had services. Because God said to me, if you need leaders when the campus turns up, if you lead leaders when a service arises, you're already too late. You're already behind the eight ball. You just keep building leaders so that when, as I begin to move, you're able to redirect resources. We're able to have our second services down at Mission Valley. The place was packed. The worship was off the chain because Pastor John and Pastor Becky are two of the greatest leadership developers in our church. Every single one of our leaders are developed and have gone through the fire. They have put their lives on the anvil. They have endured testing. Every single one of our leaders are chosen on this premise. How would I like a dozen more of them? I could change the world with a dozen more Stacys. I could change the world with a dozen more Deshaun's. I could change the world with a dozen more Morgans. Every one of our leaders, it's like I understand the law of reproduction. That a student is not above the teacher. It's enough that the student becomes like the teacher. When I look at Dr. Matt and Michaela, I love them. I love their life. I love their exuberance. I love that they love each other. I love how transparent they are on stage when they fight on the way to church. I love their beautiful kids. Their beautiful kids. I love their vacations. Like they stir me up. They stir me up when they go out to the river and they're on their boat and they're in their happy place and there's country music playing and we're driving to a sandbar and they've got these, I mean, it's this little thing in a box like this, but it unfolds and it's this giant grill. Yes. And it's a smoker. I'm like, you had it in your pocket and now it's this, and we're grilling and we're playing games where you got to hold a drink in one hand and you got to catch a frisbee. All my fingers were bruised because if you drop it, you lose. And you don't want to be on Dr. Matt's team and be the weakest link. You get that stare where he makes me swim back. I've got to swim back against the tide all the way back if we lose. And you're playing these games and then we're wake surfing and it's like, oh my God, I forgot that life can be fun. I forgot that I love them. I want more of them. The law of reproduction, who you sit under. We choose our leaders. You can trust our leaders. They're handpicked. Samuel and Katie, two of the finest people on the planet. All right, I know I'm so jacked up. Number five. Number five is, this is a good one. The law of projection. The law of projection. Watch this. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? Hypocrite! First take the plank out of your eye, then you'll see clearly. Here's what I discovered. Here's what I discovered the hard way. The hard way. That I saw in everybody else what was most resident in me. It's crazy. you will see in others what's jacked up in you. And you think it's everybody else. It's like the guy that goes to the doctor. And he's like, doctor, you know, pain. And pain. What do you mean pain? Everywhere. What, everywhere? If I touch my head, ah. If I touch my shoulder, ah. If I touch my hip, ah. If I touch my knee, ah. And the doctor says, you got a broken finger. It's not about all these other things. And there are so many people, it's like, actually, sweetheart, the pain and the dysfunction and the broken that you see out there first. So here's what I've discovered. Before I pick up my stone to throw it, whoa. Paul says, beware you who say, don't steal, do you steal? Those of you who say, you know, don't commit adultery, do you commit adultery? He says, because what you're judging others, you yourself are guilty of. I found that every time I want to climb up on my high horse and start throwing stones and judgment, the very things that I'm identifying out there are the very things that are actually in here. And Jesus doesn't acknowledge. He doesn't say, hey, what you're seeing out there isn't real. He's just saying, do this first. Do this first. First, take that light that's going out and turn that light in. Turn that light in and deal with that issue in your own life. He says, because then you'll see clearly. Remember many years ago, God said to me, he said, I want you to stop practicing what you preach. And I immediately, Pastor Lisa, thought it was the devil. Speaking of Pastor Lisa, dear God, Pastor Lisa, Pastor Michael, are they just unbelievable? Unbelievable. I've never just skiing with Pastor Lisa, like she is like a bullet on that mountain and then makes fun of me the whole time. I said, how did I do, Lisa? She goes, pretty good for a girl. I'm like, I'm not a girl. How could you? They're like fierce on the mountain and fun. They love playing games and they're competitive. And anyway, many years ago, God said to me, he said, I want you to stop practicing what you preach. And I thought it was the devil. I'm like, oh, it's the devil. I need to have integrity. I'm gonna practice what I preach. He says, no, I want you to flip it. I said, well, you want me to flip it? He said, I want you to flip it. I want you to only preach what you practice. I'm like, well, that's a lot of work. Can't I just get a sermon and then tell everybody else what's wrong with them? Can't I just get up there and I look like I'm the holy guy who's got everything together, like all my ish is in one bag? But everyone else is jacked up like it's, I'm holier than thou. And I remember when many years ago when the Lord spake unto me and the anointing came and the Lord spake and said, from now on, deodorant is something thou shalt no longer require. Because the anointing is so great, thou no longer perspires. Thou no longer has body odor. Gingivitis, brushing of thine teeth, no longer required. Because thou art holy unto the... No, I have to brush my teeth. I have to put on deodorant. I have to floss. I have to work on my issues. I have to work on my stuff. And I realize God says, listen, when you work on your stuff, when you read the word and it, man. He says, when you turn that light in and then you go and you deal with the corruption in your heart, the insecurities in your heart, the anger in your heart, the animosity, the lust, whatever it is in your heart, when you begin to deal with those things in you first, you'll see how difficult it is. And then when you preach to the church, it'll be seasoned with grace. Did you know the Bible says that mercy and truth provide atonement for iniquity? Truth by itself can't provide atonement for iniquity. Mercy by itself can't provide, but in mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity. Everybody has iniquity. Everybody has sin. Everybody's looking for atonement. And the devil loves to turn everybody into Pharisees where it's all just truth, truth, truth. No mercy. Why? Because there's no atonement. Atonement is found in mercy and truth. Atonement is provided. And God said to me, I need you to start preaching what you practice, so that when you do preach, What you practice, it'll be seasoned with mercy as you present the truth, and people will come out of their bondage. They will come out of, they'll say, Pastor, we love the transparency. It was amazing in the early years how many people would beat us up. You're way too transparent, but we can't be there. All right, can you handle any more? Yeah. All right, okay. Okay, the law, oh no, we got three more. All right, real quick. The law of identity, or fruit. The Bible says, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. In other words, your identity is not what you say, it's not what you proclaim, it's not what you wear. The tree can have the best trunk. It could like be working out. This is what we're trying to teach our girls. Just because he's got a set of pecs and biceps and a tan. In fact, I would run the other way. Because he's probably a narcissist. Yeah. Amen. He's all about himself, and you're a commodity. You're an addition. Look at the fruit of their life. Do they serve? If they don't tithe, don't date them. If they'll rob God, if they won't honor God, they ain't gonna honor you. If you dishonor him. Oh, well, yes. Look, I understand he dishonors the creator of the universe, but he's not going to dishonor me because on a scale, the creator, and then there's... If he dishonors the creator of the universe, he's going to dishonor you, darling. Look at the fruit of people's lives. Don't listen to the toot. Look at the fruit. Everybody is tooting away, but Jesus says a bad tree can't bear good fruit. And a good tree can't bear bad fruit. A tree is known by its fruit. It may tell you, I'm an orange tree, but when you bite into it and it's sour and it's bitter, no, you're not. You're a lemon tree. I tasted the fruit and it's sour. Every tree is known by its fruit. It's the law of identity. This one's another ouch one. The law of the thorn and the briar. Watch this. It says, people do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. So you may have the best figs in town. You may have the best grapes in town. But if you are prickly, if you are cantankerous, if you're nasty, if you're belittling, if you're ugly, there's a lot of, well, I'm just here to tell the truth. No, you're just mean. Well, I'm just telling them that, no, you're a jack wagon. This is what I've discovered in 34 years of being in ministry. I've found that the number one area that God has repeatedly circled back to my life to deal with is my emotional baggage. Was I anointed? Anointed. Was I gifted? Gifted. Was I called? Called. Was I appointed by God? Appointed by God. Did I carry a mantle? Carried a mantle. Had all of those things, but none of those compensated for snappy Tom, belittling, angry, because I never dealt with the issues. I never dealt with the emotional damage, the trauma. And there are so many people, Jesus is trying to say, listen, you may have the best figs, but nobody's eating figs from thorn, but ow, because they get pierced. They want to come to the fruit that you're offering, but because you're nasty, because you're... We have people that sit in our church who are in different ministries where the preachers were anointed. They were just cruel. They were cruel. They were belittling. They were unkind. And if you have figs and thorns, if you have grapes and briars, if people have to wear protective gear to come in to get wisdom, to get counsel from you, and they've got to come in hoping to only get minimally pierced, they ain't coming no more. It doesn't matter what you're putting down, they ain't coming to you. You have a responsibility to unprickle and dethorn. I was going to say something naughty. All right. Bump your neighbor and say, you make me thorny. I said thorny. You guys are unbelievable. Twist everything. Can you believe it, Pastor Samuel? Samuel, that was a moment to judge right there. Judge them, Samuel. Judge them. Yes, thank you, Samuel. Thank you, Caiaphas. All right, the last one, because we're way over time. The last one. Can I give you the last one? Yeah. The law of heart flow. The law of heart flow. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. An evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. You cannot hide what's in your heart. It will flow, it will show. It will flow, it will show. What's in you will come out of you. That's why the Bible says, above all else, guard your heart. Why do you think Pastor Samuel many years ago said, Pastor, can we partner together? Let's do the one-year Bible. Let's get the entire church doing the one-year Bible. Why? Because I can't stop, you know, television and television and all the garbage that goes in. I wasn't there when you were raised. I wasn't there when words were spoken and things happened. But, you know, we are here now. We're going to get the Word of God in. And the Word of God not only replaces, but the Word of God will help you to weed. It'll help you to weed that stuff in, because we want good treasure in your heart. David said this in Psalm 119, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Two verses later, verse 11 says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. When you put God's word in your heart, it'll bring forth a harvest. When God's word is in your heart, it'll come out of your mouth. When his word comes out of your mouth, there is no more powerful force in the universe than the word of God. But if bitterness is in your heart, bitterness comes out of your mouth. And the Bible says that the mouth is a producer. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruit. Your mouth is a fruit producer. That's why you got to understand, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Therefore, if you find, man, we're never going to get a house. Oh, it's so expensive here. If that's coming out of your mouth, it's because God is showing you what's in your heart. Every time I hear something in my mouth that is incongruent with the Word of God, I realize, shoot, my mouth is trying to tell me, yags, hello, urgent, alert, warning, dweet, dweet, dweet. There's something jacked up in your heart. How did it get there? OMG, I got to get down there and do some weeding and do some replacing. Fear was coming out. Negativity, faithlessness was coming out. Perversion was coming out. I got to change the condition of my heart, because I want my mouth declaring, I want my mouth prophesying good things. I don't want to be prophesying my ruin. I don't want to be prophesying ceilings. I don't want to be prophesying limitation. Come on, let's stand to our feet. Eight laws, and I got them with 8 minutes over. Oh my gosh. 8 minutes over. Yeah. Come on, lift your hands high to heaven. Lift your hands high to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for the laws of life, the God who sees gravity. Every single one of us are so blessed because we're in a house. We're in a house that wants to see the laws of life. The laws of life. The laws of life. Just turn your heart again to God. There is nothing greater. It doesn't matter. The devil will try and tell you, no, it's too late for you. Oh, you're too jacked up. You're too broken. You're too messed up. He's a liar. He's a liar. The very day you open your heart to the Word of God, everything changes. The day you say, Lord, send your word into my heart. My heart receives your word. The moment the Word of God has room in your heart, everything changes. You're born again. Everything begins to shift. Your future is great. What is coming out of your mouth, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The mouth always reveals what's in the heart. Let God do heart surgery. That's why the Holy Spirit is your helper. He'll convict you. He'll show you. He's a revealer of what's in your heart. Don't let fear, don't let hopelessness, don't let anxiety, don't let negativity, don't let perversion, don't let lust, don't let adultery, don't let theft, don't let uncleanness be in your heart. Let the Word of God come and transform your heart, purify your heart. Why? So that you can have an incredible God harvest. Father, I thank you for these people. I thank you for anointing. I thank you for fresh oil. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen.